Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When you started in your career, you probably hoped that one day you would be the boss, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty young when I jumped into this career, so I was kind of like a dog chasing cars. I was a little bit reckless. But I guess at some point, yes, I kind of figured I would be a boss.
Gen Z says, hard pass on that. All right. So, Raven, I don't know if you've read this, but the term is called conscious unbossing.
Okay.
And it might be a big power move for the younger generation. They don't want to be boss. And they're turning down leadership roles. And there's good reason for it, too. They're saying that, one, they want to protect their well-being. So it makes sense. You know, managers are usually overworked, under-supported. And honestly, when it comes to the first round of layoffs, they're the first ones to go, right?
Yeah, lower pressure.
Right. And even though that the salaries might be higher for bosses, they're not feeling that, they feel that having a work-life balance is more important than growing on the chain.
Yeah, but Anna, if there's no bosses, then there's no direction, then you're not actually accomplishing anything, then nothing's getting done, then you're out of work anyways, then there's no job. How are we going to be leaders in the world, Anna, if we're afraid to be leaders in our own boardroom?
Well, that's why all these experts and companies are trying to figure out ways to get around this, and they're trying to reconfigure what our future looks like when it comes to companies, because if they don't want the responsibility and the little bit of extra cash that goes along with it, who's going to do it? Who's going to take charge?
Easy answer. I've already got this figured out. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Robot bodies.
Oh, good.
All right. Robot bodies. All right. For those of us that are willing to still come to work, are willing to be in charge, put their neck on the line, albeit a robotic neck, and make sure that we press ourselves forward here. You give me a robot body so I can keep on going. Keep this mind intact, Anna. Mm-hmm. Imagine the possibilities.
Let Elon Musk and the robots sleep in the office. The rest of us aren't going to do it.
Give me a robot body.
Okay.
And a flying car. I'll sleep wherever you want me to.
Sorry, Nick. Your name is going extinct, if that's your name.
Oh.
It's kind of sad.
Well, you know what? If Nicolas Cage has got anything to say about that, it's not over yet.
Why Is It Trending is powered by NHTSA. A driver who isn't wearing their seatbelt may get a ticket. A driver who isn't wearing their seatbelt during a crash may not make it home. Don't risk it. Click it. Paid for by NHTSA. All right, let's start with getting paid. We all like money, right?
Yeah, for sure.
If you used a Siri-enabled device between 2014 and 2024, aka pretty much everybody except your one friend who swears by their Android.
I mean, it's not really, those numbers don't pan out. The Android is very popular, but it's quite a few people that have been using Siri and have been using an iPhone.
I have one text chain with 10 people on it where one person is making our whole text chain a different color.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to figure out for years who is it, and nobody will fess up to
it. But you know what? When you're all out together, you let that person take the photos because their camera is a lot better.
All right, anyway, if you used an iPad, an iPhone, a Mac, anything Apple device, and it had Siri on it, it's your time to claim your money. Remember, there was that $95 million settlement. Saying that Siri was spying on you. So this is between 2014 and 2024. Remember, Apple did not admit fault, but they said, we'll settle and give you $95 million.
I mean, here's the thing, though. $95 million with all those people that used it. What are we getting, all of us? Like $3?
Well, funny you should ask. You can get $20 per device up to 5 devices.
Oh, well, during that time, I mean, I probably had 10 devices. Oh,
all of a sudden, everything changes.
I had iPads. Mm-hmm. I had iPhones, too. I stopped at the iPhone 11. When's that? 70 years ago?
Maybe. All right. So how do you get your money? Because you only have until July 2nd to apply for it.
Yeah.
That's the deadline. So you go to the website, Lopez versus Apple Inc. Just Google that. Lopez versus Apple Inc.
Thank you, J-Lo.
Here's the guy from Robot from the Internet explaining.
If you got an email or postcard with the subject line, Lopez Voice Assistant Class Action Settlement, you're golden. Use the claim ID and confirmation code at the top. Didn't get a notice but still think you qualify? Just hit new claim on the site and follow the steps.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't remember getting that. So,
well, you got to check old emails, too. That's the thing. I've got this Yahoo that's got probably 70,000 emails, and I'm wondering if it's in there.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, guess who's coming back?
I don't know.
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is taking a job as a basketball analyst, and people are asking, why?
I mean,
they're excited, but they're like, is he bored? Is he just that he's running out of cash? I can't imagine that it's possibly that. He's going to start his new job next season as a special contributor, whatever that means. I think it means it works whenever he feels like
right,
it.
He shows up when he wants to.
Right.
Right.
And NBC has the rights to cover the NBA games for the next 11 years. So we'll see.
I can't believe this. I got to think that it's not going to be live segments. I think it's going to be a lot of tape stuff, maybe interviews like Tom Brady did at first. And I'll tell you why. Controlled environment, because he's not very good at this. I have no idea if he has any skills as a broadcaster, but as a human, he's low on that chart.
I will tell you this. I travel a lot to these beach towns like for vacations.
Yes.
Everywhere I go has a story.
About Michael Jordan showing up and eating at the steakhouse,
No, Raven. He's a fisherman. He's a master fisherman. He goes and he competes in all these deep sea. He stayed at that Holiday Inn right there. He wanted to be able to see his boat. Like, everywhere I go has a story about, and I'm like, he got bored. How much can you fish before you're like, I need something else to do?
Obviously he has insight to the game. So if he shows up and he's likable, then great.
All right, let's talk about Nick. Sad Nick. Nick and Lisa, they were the number one names for decades, and now they barely crack in the top 1,000. Mm. Those names are going extinct, Nick and Lisa. But for the sixth year in a row, Liam and Olivia are the most popular baby names in America.
Congratulations.
Kelly Clarkson wants you to compliment her on her weight loss.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting because we've kind of become a society where you're not supposed to compliment women on their bodies and you're not supposed to remark about people's bodies.
Yeah, like, I mean, whole that body shaming profile. Like, anything can be misconstrued and you don't want to be canceled and you don't want to be the person that people are like, well, I didn't need his approval anyways. As a guy, we just shut our mouths.
Right. And she says she doesn't want that. She wants people to acknowledge the fact that she's worked hard and she's done what she has to do. And here she is. And this, she looking good. And I was like, huh, imagine being like, that's the compliment I want. That's what I want to hear from people. Lay it on me. Mm. Lay it on me.
Yeah.
If you could have anybody compliment you on something that you never get that compliment, what would it be, Raven?
Well, I mean, I really don't know.
What?
Yeah. I mean, listen, everybody wants to hear that they look good or that, you know, that they're doing something that, wow, did you lose weight? Everybody wants to hear that. Wow, did you get a haircut? You look great or anything like that. For me, it'd be like, wow, do you have so much more hair again?
You wanted compliments on your hair?
That would be great. Like if all of a sudden my hair was robust again. Like,
but it's.
Yeah. Okay. So don't say. Right. Thank you.
Okay.
That's why.
All right.
See what you did there? You did the opposite of what I was looking for.
We sent producer Julie around to the office squad to ask that exact same thing.
Mm. If you could be complimented on one thing more, what do you wish people would compliment you on?
How about my willingness to help?
You are very helpful.
She 100% is.
Yes.
You are very, very helpful.
There has
Angela.
Never been a single time when I've walked into her office that she has not, you know, resolved my problem for me. I'm going to thank her for her help today.
You are, Angela, when it comes to taking care of stuff, nobody does it better than you.
Mm.
Without a doubt.
Well, now the next person is going to feel bad about themselves. What do they want?
My car. It smells good. I keep air fresheners everywhere and it's clean. I do like April and like fall, so spring and fall cleaning. And I like vacuum it out, take everything out, do all the stuff.
Wow. That is impressive.
That is also a strange thing to be, you know, remarkably proud about. But
well, if you
know what? If she wants to clean my car, that'd be great.
If you spend a lot of time cleaning something or taking care of something, it's nice when people notice that you did it.
Yeah. I mean, acknowledgement is fine. When anything that you put in effort, it makes sense. It's just like, she's walking around thinking that her car cleaning like work is not respected enough. That's a lot.
That I'm on time. If there's a meeting, I'm going to be there when the meeting starts.
You're actually usually early.
Yes, exactly. Got to be ready.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yep.
I'm tardy. Or I'm untardy.
I mean, that's a good thing. It's something to be proud of.
I mean, I've been on time pretty much for everything my whole life. So I am seldom ever late. I am always.
Wait,
I go to 10 to 15 minutes early.
When people always ask me, what's it like working with you?
Yeah.
The one thing I always say is he always shows up on time.
He's always on time.
That's the one compliment that I give you.
Thank you. So for me, it's not very fulfilling, right? Because I've been doing it my whole life, but okay.
But it's so funny. That is the one compliment I gave about you. All right. And then
I think people know I love Disney and the Boston Bruins, but I wish they told me I was like an expert in those fields. I want to go from fan to expert.
Okay.
All right.
I guess when you become a super fan, mm-hmm. at one point you want to graduate and have people respect the fact that you're not just a fan, you've yeah. become an expert. At what point do you go from fan to expert?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you want to graduate from geek to somebody that's respected now in that field. And the thing is like being a super fan of anything, I'm not sure is necessarily a respectable field, but okay.
I will call her a Disney expert.
All right.
I'm not sure about her vast majority, like her knowledge of the Bruins, but I'm sure.
Yeah, but you have no knowledge of the Bruins,
so
right?
She might be an expert.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, anything could be true here.
Why can't women make new friends? It's like the million-dollar question. You have your old friends, hopefully, but when it comes to making new ones, it's a lot more difficult.
I'm going to jump in there and just say guys have these troubles too. I think it's an age thing a lot of times as well.
Danielle Byer-Jackson is a friendship educator, also a relational health expert. Danielle, first of all, the fact that you're a friendship educator makes me happy inside. I just feel like it's so important, especially for women and men too, as Raven said, to have good friendships. And when you don't have that, it can feel like you're missing out on a real fulfilling part of your life. How do you go about making new friends as you get older?
You know, the first thing is it's more of a mindset thing. And I love giving the tangibles, but first I'd like to help people understand that if there's any part of you that thinks that it's too late for you or that you should have made your friends way back in the day, or if you feel embarrassed about the fact that you're kind of in a period where you're starting from scratch, you're going to have to let that go because the research finds that we replace half of our friends every 7 years. So we all have to develop the skill of inviting new connections into our lives.
Danielle, how did this come about, right? Because, I mean, you didn't set out to be a friendship expert. All of a sudden, like, this is something that must have spoken to you when you saw a real need.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't on my vision board when I was 10 to become a friendship coach.
Right.
But I think the pandemic helped people to see the real need. And so now we have people mostly from 20s through mid 40s who realize, wow, I've got to learn how to facilitate connections on my own, or I need in-depth relationships.
Amen. So, all right. So how do we do
it? How do you do it? Right.
I mean, it's real.
I love
right?
that you guys are like, this is all nice, but what are the steps? I'll give you three quick. The first is I like to say, start with who you already know. And I know that doesn't sound very sexy, but for a lot of us, we have people in our social network, but we've convinced ourselves, oh, too much time has passed or that would be weird. We have people we have an affection for and a history with that we overlook because we think too much time has passed. So you can start there. The second thing is to become a regular somewhere. So take that daily walk around the same path, work from that coffee shop every Friday morning. That repeated exposure is a key ingredient in the friend-making process. And then the last thing I'll give you is to leverage the intel of what we call super connectors. So these are people who seem to just know everybody and they go to all the things. There is no shame in going to that person and just saying, you know, I'm trying to get more intentional about getting plugged in and I thought of you. Any tips of events happening around here or any groups you know that might be worth checking out? And people are eager to share their two cents on anything.
You know, what's interesting is that how you putting yourself out there is really hard. And I look at some of my closest friends and it all started with them saying, do you want to go grab coffee sometime? Which is so funny because I would never have the courage to ask somebody to do that. But they did with me and it started our friendships.
Danielle, I've got a question. I mean, over my lifetime, there was a tendency for me to almost keep friends that I knew I probably should have got rid of. But, you know, the truth is, as an adult, there's this feeling of almost, well, we haven't been there before together, right? Like trusting a new friend to that level takes a leap of faith. When we're, you know, making friendships as adults, it's almost like you're dating somebody's representative.
Yeah, I actually hear that comment all the time with people saying, man, it kind of feels like dating. Yeah, we're putting ourselves out there and we're trying to see if there's a connection here. And so I just think that the more that we anticipate awkwardness, clunkiness, feeling our way through, as much as we can normalize that instead of avoiding new friendships because it might be awkward, I think the better off we'll be.
Mm. She's right. So friendly.
Yeah.
Danielle, do you want to go bury a body together?
No.
Then I'll know that we're really in it together. I'll know then.
All right. If you want to learn more about Danielle, you can head to her website, DanielleByerJackson.com. That's Danielle, BayardJackson.com. Thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
New York has just joined a handful of states in the country that have lowered the age that you can be a prison guard to 18 from 21. Why did they do this? Well, like a lot of those other states, they don't have enough people that want to be prison guards.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about prisons, right? They're always building more of them. They always need more guards, that's for sure, sad as that sounds. This is a great job, though. Fantastic pensions, strong unions when you got those. But at 18, maybe a lot of responsibility for somebody that age.
One of our newest interns, Michaela. Michaela, how old are you?
I'm 18.
18. So we thought we would interview you for this job of prison guard of our fake Anna and Raven jail. And let's see how qualified you are to actually be a prison guard.
I'm not sure I feel good about naming the jail after ourselves, but either way, we can determine whether or not we think you might be right for incarceration.
Michaela, welcome to our interview. We would like to hire you as a prison guard, but if there is a scuffle in the chow hall, how do you handle it?
The chow hall?
probably just, like, go and, like, talk them down and, like, maybe, like, separate them and say, like, okay, you guys need to, like, not fight and, like, talk this out.
Yeah.
Diffuse the situation by giving them time out.
Also, the proper thing to do with teenage girls. If they're having a disagreement, we got to talk this out.
Yeah.
We got to sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to separate them.
Here's the thing. The whole place is already in timeout. So you're doing timeout inside timeout. But okay. All right. Strong answer. Michaela, how many different meals are possible using ramen noodles?
Probably like 10.
Ten.
Well, AI answers that it's impossible to provide an exact number because prisoners have developed a remarkably wide array of recipes using ramen noodles as a base, including ramen burritos, where you crush the ramen, chips and hot water are combined to create a filling for burritos, jailhouse pizza, where the crust is made of crust ramen noodles, and the spread or the chichi, which is a mixture of ramen, Anna, with various ingredients like chips, canned meats, and cheeses. It's kind of a prison potluck.
Michaela, you'll be happy to know that much like the prisoners, you going to college, you'll also be eating a lot of ramen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hope you were taking notes during that portion.
There's a prison ramen cookbook, as a matter
of fact.
No,
we're good. We're good.
All right. Well, I can order you a copy.
Okay. What do you think is your number one skill that makes you prepare to be a prison guard?
Probably just because, like, maybe I'm a good listener.
Yeah.
And, like, so instead of, like, you know, the prisoners, like, dealing with their issues, like, with violence, mm-hmm. we could, like, maybe, like, have somebody to talk to.
It's nice.
It is nice. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like maybe there's hope, although I know there's not. What's hooch and how do you make it?
I have no idea.
It's like fermenting fruit and it will get you drunk and they're going to make it in their toilets and a trash bag.
That's
so you
got to
look out for that as
all right.
A guard.
Okay. Yeah, Michaela, yeah. Let's move on. If one of your inmates has an infinity for baby oil and you see that someone has snuck it into them, what do you do?
What?
Sneaking in baby oil?
Yeah.
You take it away and then find out, like, where they're getting it and stop it.
Right. Mm-hmm. The answer is from everybody visiting P. Diddy in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what a courtesy flush is, Michaela?
No.
Okay.
All right, Michaela, I'm not 100% sure that you're ready to be a prison guard at 18 years old.
Yeah. But you're a very nice person.
And you have a great future ahead of you. Where are you going to college?
High Point University.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. I'm sure that you're going to have a great future ahead of you there.
Yes. Thank you.
If you are a couple with two cats, congratulations, you have the dirtiest couches in the country.
Mm.
Yeah. They did a study and they found out that the dirtiest thing in your home is not your toilet. Turns out that your couch is 75 times dirtier than your toilet.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you get a couch, right? And you hold on to that couch for a long time. And that sofa kind of stands the test of time. How many people really clean their sofa? I mean, vacuuming it is one thing. But, like, cleaning it, steam cleaning, washing the pillow covers, anything like that. A lot of people don't ever do that.
Germs, bacteria, says that's where it lives, especially if you have pets in your home.
Nah.
So Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin, yesterday we each went home to our couches and we recorded ourselves smelling it, lying on it,
yeah,
to see how dirty it felt. Here's what mine sounded like.
This is the oldest couch in my house. It's about 8 years old. It's still in pretty good shape, despite the fact that the kids have jumped all over it. But for an off-white couch, it's still off-white. It has butt imprints on just one cushion. It smells like nothing. Yep, no, nothing. has a couple questionable stains, and I know I've had a battle a few stains. One time there was a red popsicle incident.
Yeah, I don't think it's that dirty.
Mm.
I don't let my pets on my furniture, though.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah, my dogs live on my couch all the time, but we vacuum it extensively. I mean, it takes probably 30 minutes to vacuum it every single week.
Wow.
Yeah, like you really have to, you have to work on it.
So, Julie, this is you and your couch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm looking at my couch, and it's pretty spotless because I don't allow shoes in my house. No crumbs. Pretty new, so there's no stains or anything, really. But let me give it a sniff. Yeah, I smell like my hair products and a little bit of Aaron, like his scent. The couch smells like my sunscreen. So maybe I should shower before sitting on my couch with sunscreen on.
Funny thing, you should bring that up because that's a real thing. In the summertime, I feel like my couch always smells like sunscreen from the kids coming inside and lying on it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I just stopped laying on it, so it was probably embedded in the pillows.
I mean, giving it a rinse, giving yourself a rinse before you go and hang out on the couch, always a good idea, right? It's the same thing, like, if you crawl into your bed dirty every night, like, you better be washing them sheets, like, the next day.
Maybe.
All right,
that's kind of gross.
Justin's couch. Now he's just going to brag.
Brand new, less than 3 month old couch. This is fluffy and wide and deep and comfortable, and it's got multiple textures and fuzz, and it is fantastic. There are no crumbs on this couch yet.
Congratulations.
I love my new couch.
I guess it's, you do. It sounds like it. That was written like a love song.
It still has the new couch smell to it, too. So, like, there's nothing, there's nothing overriding it yet.
I mean, that's like glues and, like, you know, like flammable things inside it. I'm not even sure that that's good for you to be smelling that.
No.
I don't know if I regard that as good smell.
But it's nice, yeah.
Yeah. My couch, the review here.
I mean, so overall, I'd say my couch is pretty good. It's just, it's babysitting day, and the dog's been laying on that one because his butt hurts. The big thing is that there's a cushion here that is totally squashed because that's where Baxter sits all day long and looks out the window.
Like, there's a slight dent where my butt goes, but there's a massive indentation where the 12-pound dog sits on top of one of the pillows.
Interesting.
That pillow is just lost. Nobody sits in front of it because he will literally eat your face.
I have one cushion that has an indention too, and it's got to be my husband.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right? All right, so we're going to post on our story on Instagram at Anna and Raven all four of our couches, and you can vote. Whose do you think looks the grossest and dirtiest? Get a fish, they said. They're easy to take care of. Kids never fail to surprise you. 100%.
What has happened?
All right. If you have a pet fish and you have a pet fish story that goes along with your fish, call 1-800-330-9999. Dakota, my six-year-old, had been begging for a fish. All she wanted was I want a fish, I want a fish.
It'll complete my life. I love it. Why do you want to, you know, keep this from me?
Why can't I have any pets? We have a dog. Dakota, we have a dog. No, that's Hayden's pet. She's mad that her older sister got to pick the dog before she was even born.
I mean,
you know
seriously,
how that goes.
Come on.
Yeah. So I go, fine, you could have a fish. On your birthday, if you still want a fish, we'll go get a fish. Her birthday came around. We went, we got a fish. We wanted to get those glow fish. I don't know what they, you know, they glow in the
dark.
Sure,
I know what you're talking about. It's got a little, like, iridescent stripe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They come in all the different colors. Turns out you have to have, like, a whole setup for those.
Yeah, like an aquarium.
Right, but they had to be out of water for 48 hours. I don't know, but whatever it matters.
It was too much for you guys to handle.
So we got a betta fish.
Okay.
Which is supposed to be the easiest of all the fish. And I have to be honest, she has been so good for a six-year-old. She wants to take care of the fish. She wants to feed the fish. She gets mad if anybody goes to check on the fish. It's in her room, and she takes care of it.
All right.
So I asked her about how it was going with the fish the other day.
Dakota, have you been feeding Glowy?
Yeah, even sometimes I try to pet her.
Try to pet her?
Yes.
She's a fish. You can't pet a fish.
Yes, I can.
How do you do it?
So you open your thing, feed it, and then you put your hand in there and you pet it.
I mean, I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but certainly, like, I've seen people, you know, like, they tag a shark or a whale or something like that. They pat it and they go, okay. All right, you're going to be all right. You know what I mean? A large whale comes up, you know, you say, okay,
Raven,
look at us.
She's
we're
opening
friends.
The top where we put in the food, and she's sticking her hand in there so she could touch the fish.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are on that, too. You know, what she washed her hands with, whether or not it's, you know, safe for the fish. I don't know.
We discussed how we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're moving forward.
But the fish is still alive at this point, is what you're saying.
I have to say, it is the happiest fish ever. So she's doing something
well, it's
right.
By itself. That's the thing about a betta fish. You put anything else in that tank, it wants to destroy it. It wants to end its life. So yes, it's happy by itself doing nothing.
Tony, do you have a pet fish, a pet fish story?
I had a pet fish when I was about 12 years old. One day I came home from school and my mom said that one of my fish ate the other one.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not fully sure if that's what happened. There wasn't a police report on it. She could have done something and flushed it down the toilet or something, but I remember just staring at the fish through the glass and being mortified.
Right, thinking, like, that fish is a murderer.
Well, it's got to be the betta fish, so that's what they told me. They told me that they fight to the death.
No, it's not the only ones. Like, I had fish back in the day, too, and they would fight from time to time. And they were the same kind of fish. Don't know why it would happen, but dominance mostly is what I'm guessing. One of them all of a sudden decided that they were going to wake up and be in charge of everything.
Yeah.
And then the other ones tried to fight back, and then look what happened.
So they just, I mean, they eat the whole other fish?
Yeah, they would bite them at their fins.
Ew.
Yeah. Like, and then the other one wouldn't be able to swim right, and then, you know, he would die. It was bad.
I feel
it's, it's strange that the fish was gone instantaneously, though. It's also strange that you mentioned that you aren't sure whether or not your mother did something. What would she do to these fish?
What's worse, that your other fish ate that fish or that your fish died?
So
maybe she was telling the truth.
It's weird.
What is she?
Still looking
for
closure on those fish, though. Wow. That says something about the human psyche.
What did she have done? What could have happened? My six-year-old just revealed to me that she's been trying to pet her fish.
Mm.
Yeah. So
yeah, bad
stick
practice.
Her whole hand in there. Just stick her hand in there and try to pet that little guy.
But here's the good news. As far as pets go, it's proven to be a relatively easy pet, right? And the fish is still alive at this point, even though we're going to close down the petting zoo.
Yeah, absolutely. And she, honestly, the fish seems happy. Do you have a pet fish story? Pierce.
All right. So we had like four fish in a small tank. And we started noticing scales in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our bigger goldfish, they kept apparently biting and eating on the other fish that they lived with for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And then they all died except for the one fish, and we named him Jaws.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I mean, at least he had a sense of humor about it. I had a fish that same thing. All of a sudden, he turned on the other fish when we were younger. And I just kept thinking to myself, what's wrong? What's the problem? Maybe he didn't like that one. I put more fish in there. Turns out he did the same thing. But sooner or later, I had just had to get rid of him.
Think about it. For your whole life, you're stuck in this little tiny, like, water contraption, and you're stuck with the same people. It's like us in the studio. Eventually, one of us is going to eat the other one.
Great. This has been eye-opening for me, Pierce. Thanks for
sharing
your story. John, you don't have a fish story. You got a turtle story, right?
Yeah, we, Luca, our neighbor, who was rushing, found this little turtle the size of a strawberry on the beach and gave it to my son for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got it home, we took it out to PetSmart and spent $270 to get this turtle a tank. And we still have the turtle. We found another turtle last year and put him in with the turtle. He tried to eat him, so we had to go buy another turtle tank. So now we have two turtle tanks and two turtles for a very low maintenance free turtles.
You have a sanctuary at your home.
I was going to say, it sounds like, you know, like turtles, like if they're in the neighborhood, that's where they want to go.
Right. They get their own condo.
Right.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Can I come live in your condo house too?
Hi, Pat. What's your fish story? What do you have?
Well, in my defense, I was very, very young and my brother has had a 10-gallon fish tank. Some of the fish just had babies and apparently I didn't like the smell. So I poured maybe a half a bottle of perfume into the fish tank to make it smell just a little bit better.
Yeah. I don't think that's how it worked.
They haven't forgotten about it.
Yeah. So all the fish were floating after that.
Pat is a fish murderer.
All the fish were floating, but it smelled great. So.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, yep.
Yeah.
You took matters into your own hands.
Like a vigilante, like Charles Bronson.
Yep.
Mark, what do you got? What's your fish story?
So my sister had one of these betta fish and also liked to take it out and pet it. And one day the family noticed that the fish started just swimming only in a circle. And by in a circle, I don't mean like normally around the bowl. I mean the fish was almost like bent in half and like contorted and couldn't get out of that position. So we, you know, asked my sister, you know, what had happened. And she decided that she wanted to be a little brave one time and took the fish out of the bowl.
Oh, not good.
And something must have happened to it. And after that, it was kind of stuck in like a half moon, half circle shape. And it continued to live for 2 years after that.
Oh.
And swim around that little bowl for 2 years as a bent little crooked fish.
Yeah, just yeah. Broke its back, but it survived.
And thrived.
This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. If I was watching this on National Geographic in the comfort of my own home by myself, I'd be upset. Probably crying. Thanks for the call.
As a regular person, can you hit a 90-mile-per-hour fastball? Since that's the average speed thrown in Major League Baseball.
I mean, that's the average speed of an off-speed pitch, Anna. It's like 105 if you want a high-speed pitch.
So yesterday we spoke to Fairfield University coach Brian Fay, and he gave tips on how to do it. And then, after the show, Raven producer Julie and I went to find the guys on the team to see if we could actually do it.
All right, Luke, what position do you play?
I play shortstop.
Okay, so for somebody like me who hasn't swung a bat since I was in middle school, what advice would you have?
See the ball, hit the ball. Just keep it simple. The more you think, the more it goes bad for you.
What are the chances that it'll hit me in the face?
Pretty high if you think about it.
Aww.
No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad to get hit in the head with the ball. What?
It was amazing to me how many of them mentioned the fact that if you think you're going to get hit, if you're fearful of getting hit, guess what? You're going to get hit.
Yep. Now, Raven, you thought you had a strategy.
Oh, yeah. My producer, before we left, he tried to tell me about crowding the plate and protecting my space. For an amateur as myself, is that something I should actually do or should I just duck?
Well, crowding the plate will definitely get you hit. So I don't recommend that.
Okay.
Try to hit the ball instead of getting hit. Right. Or duck. Ducking is a lot better than than trying to get plunked.
Yep. Try now, to get plunked.
This is a professional coach, all right, for an achieving collegiate team.
Mm-hmm.
And his best thing was don't get hit.
We finally got to meet with Nick, our pitcher.
I'm going to throw for you guys.
Okay. How's your eyesight?
Eyesight's good. Always tested well.
Yeah. If you had to give a percentage of people that you've hit and pitched to over the last, I don't know, your whole life, what would that be? Low, right?
Probably, yeah, like 2-3%.
Okay.
How fast do you throw the ball?
Like 84 to 86.
Oh, my God.
That's really fast.
We actually all did relatively well. Now, let's be honest. They were easy on us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and we were able to call our pitches, which mm-hmm. is something that would never happen. So, you know, he started throwing us meatballs at first. That's like a 30-40 mile per hour pitch. That's like nothing on it.
It was super fun. We hit the ball. Mm-hmm. We didn't get hit with the ball. But the weird thing was that all of a sudden, Julie's like, oh, I'll do it too.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot while we're here. Why not?
We're here. Yeah. Let me go. She gets up there and starts slamming
it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even think that maybe she missed one. And then the crazy thing is she hits like three dingers and then she's like, oh, I'll switch it too. She switched sides. She switched it.
I had to show off.
Yeah, then she was doing this thing where she shuffled forward.
I go slap.
Yeah.
A slap. I was like, I don't know what she's doing. And all the players looked at me. She's like, she's slapping.
Yeah.
I go, what? All right, so how did we do according to the players?
TJ, how do you think we did?
I thought it was better than I was expecting.
Who do you think did the best job out of all of us?
Julie. I thought she had some good swings. Looked like she had a little bit of experience there. I was surprised when she switched sides and started ripping it from the left side, but I think she took it.
Yeah, no, we all were surprised.
Yeah.
She was like, let me just switch sides and hit from the other. I was like, what?
I'm going to say this. The next time we go perform in front of like a professional sports team, Julie, bring your boyfriend, because all those dudes were like, hey.
Yeah, right. I worked years for that, so.
Yes. But we also had an expert on our hands.
Dean, I heard that you are the nation leader in hits. True or false?
I think that's true. I don't know. I think so. Thank you.
Okay, so how do you think we did?
Pretty good. Definitely showed some good swings out there.
Would you let us take your spot? What's it called? A pitch hitter? Is that what it's called?
Pinch hitter. Late in the game, you know? You'd be shocked. Guys get called off the bench.
I'm great at the bench, so I'm perfect.
Good news. If they're up 75 runs,
yeah,
they'll maybe let us hit for them.
You can hear in the tone of his voice, he's never been pitch hit for before. He's the leader.
It's time for you to decide who has the best AI-generated song for the Anna and Raven Vision Song Contest.
All right, listen, when you say it like that, I want to feel like you're downplaying my artistic creativity a little bit here, because what I came out with yesterday, straight fire.
Okay, so Eurovision kicks off today, and for whatever reason, even though it's the biggest thing all over the world, America doesn't seem to care.
We don't care at all.
Yeah, so this is an international music competition where countries send one musical act to represent their country and perform an original song, and then everybody votes and they pick which is the best song of the year, right? So we decided we're going to do our own contest. And if you missed it yesterday, we had two strong contenders. Julie, what was the theme of your song?
It was wondering what dogs say when they bark.
What do dogs say when they bark at the air? Are they spilling truths or throwing out a dare?
All right. And then Raven, what was your song?
Definitely Unicorn Gangsters rapping on top of a mountain in Switzerland.
Through the pines, the rhymes take flight. Northern lights in their manes, a radiant sight. Lyrical snowfall, pristine delight. Enchanting the night.
I mean, he said northern lights radiating off their manes.
Oh, wow. No, all right.
Do you know what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
It's on loop in the other room. People love this thing.
So now it's time for producer Justin and I to debut our songs. You mind if I start with mine, Justin?
Please,
is that cool?
Oh.
All right. So my theme is kids ruined the beach for parents.
Okay.
All right. If you could please kill that American Idol bed. Thank you.
Go.
Everybody take a deep breath. This is going to be magical.
Pack up the towels, we're heading to the shore. But the kids start whining before we're out the door. In the back seat, screaming like they're fighting a war. And now I'm already tired, what'd we do this for?
Let's go!
They run into the waves, too deep they go. I'm chasing behind, yelling, get back, bro. Heart attack brewing when they're way off flow. I swear Jaws is out there, don't say I don't know.
Yep.
Feels long, a little self-indulgent. I want you to imagine if they were unicorns, how much cooler that would have been.
But, I liked it. It was beachy.
Okay. It was very beachy.
It was beachy. All right.
Worried about the Jaws. The kids are out too
far.
Yeah,
I got that part.
Throwing sand.
Yeah.
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 All right, Justin, what is your theme?
My theme is the universal struggle everyone faces. This is for the people of having too many options.
Protest song.
When it comes to streaming.
Oh, too many options. Okay, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Go.
Too much Netflix, too much Prime. Too many choices, not enough time. Clicking through the endless stream. Lost inside this bin.
Oh, yeah, come on,
it's got a groove.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. That
We're
one felt
all
a
dancing in this one.
Felt a little beachy to me. That one felt a little islandy right there. Oh, almost like I was going on vacation.
Okay, so head to our Instagram right now at Anna and Raven, and you pick what do you think was the best AI generated song for the Anna and Raven Vision Song Contest. Vote, and we'll unveil a winner coming up later this week.
Oh, I can't wait.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. Then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today. Sierra and Larry. Sierra, what happened?
Yes, we have a daughter in high school. She's a sophomore. And she was asked to go to the senior prom with this guy that she knows. It's not her boyfriend or anything like that, just sort of a guy that, you know, she hangs out with every now and then. And it's just, you know, fun. She's just going for fun. My husband seems to have a problem with it, and I think it's fine. I mean, a big part of high school was going to the dances. So You know, you don't always have to have a date. It's just fun to go.
What's your problem with this, Larry? What's your side of things?
Sierra, come on. We all went to the senior high school dances. We know what goes on at those dances. I do not want our sophomore daughter going to a senior prom. That makes no sense. Like, what are his intentions? You know what I mean? Like, when you go to the dance, you know what goes on after those. You know, it's parties and drinking and all kinds of stuff. She's a sophomore. And plus, she doesn't even know this guy that well. You know, so why don't he just invite somebody his own age? You know, it's not even her boyfriend. She doesn't even like the guy.
She's just going to have a fun time. We have raised her right.
It's just a dance. What?
Dancing. It's a dance. It's a dance for dancing.
Mm.
You know what goes on at those dances and after those dances. You know.
When you have a boyfriend, but he's not her boyfriend.
You go to the after prom, but that's usually school sponsored now or something.
Right, they sit in a pool,
still,
right? They watch Jaws.
They stay there for 5 minutes, and then they go to the after party and something, you know. You know how it is.
You know, but maybe your experience with the dances will be different than her experience. My dances weren't all about hooking up with my boyfriend. I went to have fun with my friends.
Yeah.
Well, the girls, but then the guys are always have some intentions in the back of their mind. You know.
All right, let's see.
I mean, it sounds like, obviously, Larry, you've got a pretty big preconceived notion about what prom was, and it's a little bit insightful to what your experience may in fact have been. I mean,
I'm pretty glad I didn't know you back then.
I mean, listen, I went to other dances. Anna, did you go to other dances?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first high school dance I think I went to. I'm pretty sure I went over to my friend's house to play video games or something, and his older sister was there with a bunch of her girlfriends, and they were like, hey, Becky needs a date. You're going to the junior prom. It was like, okay, you know, and we had a blast, you know. Yep. I mean, we used to all go like as groups and hang out, so it didn't really even matter who your date was.
Yep.
Was there parties after? A lot of times there was. Mm-hmm. You know what? We probably would have been going to them anyways, with or without the prom. That's the truth.
Larry, I think that you have a valid point, but I think that you should just tell your daughter that she either has to come home after, or you have to know where she is, and you kind of control the situation, and you set the expectations and have that conversation with her.
Right. If you have that faith, it's a time where you can confirm that rather than, you know, kind of, I don't know, dig in, but who knows?
Yeah. What do you think? Would you let your sophomore daughter go to the senior prom? Larry and Sierra have a sophomore daughter, and she's been asked to go to the senior prom. It's not a boyfriend. It's not a very good friend. Just a boy that asked her, and she kind of knows him, says he's nice. And Sierra's like, that's what they do. They go to these proms together. It's innocent. Just let her go.
Yeah, Larry thinks it's a terrible idea. He says, you remember what everybody was trying to do when we went to prom back in the day? Sierra didn't go to prom with Larry, but she sounds a little bit terrified by the whole process. I mean, it's true. Certain people are going in with the intention of partying and hanging out, and the after party is really the event that happens during prom, and a lot of other people just want to go to prom and have a great time.
What do you think? Would you let your sophomore daughter go? Allie, whose side are you on?
I think her name was Sarah's side. I'm calling from being that sophomore girl invited to a senior prom. My parents let me go, but I wasn't allowed to go to the after party, and that has, like, set me up to be bullied after, and I wasn't a crazy kid. I wasn't promiscuous or anything like that. So if they're not already having problems with her partying and doing all those things, then I agree with you that they should just either track her location or set those expectations as to what she's allowed to do after prom.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Sierra and Larry have a daughter who's a sophomore in high school, and she's just been asked to the senior prom. And mom says, well, you know, he seems like a nice guy. She's not her boyfriend or anything. They're just going as friends. They're going in a group. What's the big deal? Let's let her go.
My first instinct when I hear this is how exciting for their daughter. But Larry, he feels completely the opposite way. He thinks that this is all about trouble. What kind of senior asks a sophomore to go to the dance? What are his intentions? He's never dated their daughter before. It's not a good idea.
What do you think? Barb, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, and they shouldn't be referring to it as just a dance. It's a senior prom, and that brings on a whole different realm of expectations. I would be very leery about a senior guy, he's a man, having to go down into the sophomore class for a date and asking someone who maybe he doesn't really even know that well. Kind of, I don't know, creeps me out. I'm on his side.
My high school had 81 people in my class.
Wow.
It was very small.
And I remember there was a lot of this because, like, just the pickings were slim.
Right.
You know?
I mean, listen, you're in the hall. You see somebody that catches your eye, or you know somebody from your group that you think is cute or whatever, or you like their attitude. I mean, I don't think it's, like, degrading to go date an underclassman.
No, but I do understand and agree with what she says, that a dance is not the same as the prom.
Hey, Dana, whose side are you on today?
So I'm with Mom. I think Dad's point is valid, but I do think this is a time to trust your daughter and let her instincts show. And I don't think she would do anything silly. I think she's just going for all the right reasons. I'm a girl. I've been there. I went to a senior prom, and no shenanigans happened. They should just trust their daughter and let her be a good girl.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the mother's side. I feel like today's teenagers are very different, and the schools are very different as far as, you know, watching the kids and making sure that they are behaving in school.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sierra, our audience agreed with you. Larry, if you trust your daughter and she just wants to go and have a good time, let her go to the prom. Going to proms is like the best part about high school.
Exactly. She's going to have fun. Everything's going to be fine. You'll see. We can trust her.
And Larry, I mean, you can talk to the kid. I mean, obviously, if it's somebody that she spent some time hanging around with before, I mean, it's your daughter. So before she's going to this dance, you're going to have a talk with this kid and let him know what your expectations are for the evening and escorting your daughter. But, I mean, you're going to survive this, right?
I mean, I'll definitely have a talk with him for sure. Yeah, I'll let him know what's going to be going down and what's not going to be going down for sure. I'll have that chat with him.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$3,400 is the cash jackpot today, powered by 5-Hour Energy. Did you know that 5-Hour Energy can be ordered online? You can easily build your own custom 12 or 24-pack. Check it out today, 5hourenergy.com. Susan, you ready to win some money?
Yes.
I would love to give it to you. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Leave the room.
Okay, Susan.
She said, get out of here. $3,400. She didn't say, please. She said, get on out of here. We got work to do today. That's what she said. All right. So Raven's out of here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Susan, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, NBC announced the cancellation of 3 shows this week. Lopez versus Lopez, The Irrational, and the spinoff of the show that launched Meghan Markle's career. What's that show called?
Suits LA.
Number two, Bravo is pulling the plug on The Real Housewives of New York City and says they hope to one day reconfigure it. Bethany Frankel is the CEO and founder of what lifestyle brand geared towards women?
Skinny Girl.
Number three, Michael Jordan will join NBC as a basketball analyst. He wore jersey number 23 for a majority of his career, but he also wore what number when he came out of retirement?
No idea.
Number four, one of the newest hacks is to wash your dirty Crocs in a dishwasher. What are the small charms called that you can attach to Crocs?
Don't know.
And number five, Madonna's life story is being adapted into a Netflix limited series. Which 1996 film did Madonna win a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress?
Truth or Dare.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo!
Well, Susan only got 2 right.
All right, Susan, not great. Let's see how I do. $3,400. You were full of gusto.
Yeah.
Maybe they're really hard.
Number one, NBC announced the cancellation of 3 shows this week. Lopez versus Lopez, The Irrational, and the spinoff of the show that launched Meghan Markle's career.
Mm.
What was that show called?
Suits LA.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard the show was a mess.
Number two, Bravo is pulling the plug on The Real Housewives of New York City and says they hope to one day reconfigure it. Interesting choice of words, reconfigure.
I think that means a new cast.
Bethany Frankel is the CEO and founder of what lifestyle brand geared towards women?
Skinny Girl.
Skinny Girl is right.
Made a whole lot of money.
Sure thing. I, like, love her. I never watched Real Housewives. I could never get into it. But something about her, I like a lot.
She doesn't seem like she's a pushover or just looking for trouble.
It's true. Number three, Michael Jordan will join NBC as a basketball analyst. He wore jersey number 23 for a majority of his career. But he also wore what number when he came out of retirement?
Oh, gosh. Was it 6?
No, 45.
45.
Yeah, it was an ode to his dad. It was what he wore in high school. Number four, one of the newest hacks is to wash your dirty Crocs in a dishwasher. Because I don't know why we have to use our dishwasher for cooking and all this other random stuff now.
It's disgusting, really.
What are the small charms called that you can attach to Crocs?
Are they Zibbits?
Is it Zibbits?
I'm going to guess the Gibbet. No, Zibbit.
No, it's a gibbet.
Oh, it's a gibbet.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Gibbet.
No, too late. Number five, and I believe you said zibbets.
Zibbet. All right, I did say zibbet first.
You
off.
Said
yeah.
everything except
yeah.
gibbets.
I mean, I was close.
Number five, Madonna's life story is being adapted into a Netflix limited series. For which 1996 film did Madonna win a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress?
1996. Oh, gosh. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Evita.
Evita's correct.
Yes!
Yes.
Look at that right there.
I mean,
from downtown.
Okay.
Take that, Boston.
All right. That was Knicks-ish. A lot. All right. So 3-2 today, Brunson. Susan. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Okay.
Enjoy that shirt, girl. $3,500 tomorrow, Anna.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.